One event that much of the world is awaiting excitedly is the World Cup of football. It will be held in South Africa, I think starting this June. You know, football, or as others call it, soccer, is acknowledged by everyone as the world's most popular sports. Unfortunately, dito sa atin, nagpipilit tayo sa basketball na wala naman tayong kapag-asa-pag-asa dito sa international sports. Pero ang pinaka-popular sa buong mundo ay football and soccer. In fact, sports hysteria comes to a fanatical pitch in support of a football team. It has happened several times that players blamed for loss have been killed in the past. There was a football war even between two nations. Honduras and El Salvador fought a war in 1969 precipitated by a football conflict. Well, that tells you how people take their football very seriously. And at the same time, in what is supposed to be a sports entertainment, men cannot hide the hostility that seeds inside. Kahit pa sa isang palakasan, sa isang dapat ay entertainment, ay umiiral pa rin sa mga tao yung kanilang sigalot, yung kanilang alitan, yung paglalabanan sa isa't isa. And I tell you that this is part of the ruinous state of man in sin. Man in sin is hostility personified. Ang tao sa kanyang kasalanan ay nasa kondisyon ng pakikipaglaban. Una'y pakikipaglaban sa Diyos at pakikipaglaban sa isa't isa. So man is always in conflict. There has never been a time that was without war in the history of mankind. The Bible tells us, Romans 8:7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. So the first conflict of man in sin is with God. We see that origin in Eden. Nakita natin yung umpisa niyan sa pakikipaglaban ng tao sa kanyang pagkakasala ay nakipaglaban siya sa Diyos at nangyari yan sa Eden. Yung unang magkatambal, si Adan at si Eva, of course, particularly and chiefly that of Adam, was in conflict with God Himself. And since Eden, we see various manifestations of this conflict not only with God, but conflicts with the people of God. And if you know Old Testament history, you are familiar with the big names of Israel's enemies: Egypt, Assyria, Babylon. These were the ancient superpowers of the Old Testament. But besides these superpowers who were enemies against Israel, there were others on a lesser scale, lesser power, and yet as real as enemies of Israel. And perhaps one of them is the most tragic one. And we will study that in this month's series of messages. And I'm referring to Edom. And this is the reason for the series title, From Eden to Edom. It all started with Eden, man's conflict with God and conflict with one another. And we see manifestations of that in every way and in various circumstances. And in the case of the book that we will study in this month, we will see that such manifestation is seen in a very tragic way in the nation of Edom. So while Edom figured in the prophetic indictments of other prophets, there is none where it is more concentrated than in the book we shall study this month, and that is Obadiah. And I would invite you to turn to Obadiah, and let's just read the first of its merely 21 verses, Obadiah. Chapter 1 and verse 1. Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 1. The vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations, saying, Arise, let us rise up against her for battle. Now, with only its 21 verses, Obadiah distinguishes itself as the shortest book of the Old Testament, but let not its brevity deceive you. It is very substantial in its message. The word Obadiah, or the name Obadiah, means servant of the Lord. And what does this servant of the Lord have to say concerning his message? It also has a very short introduction. It simply says the vision of Obadiah, yung pangitain ni Obadiah. At yung pangitain na yun mula sa umpisa ay maliwanag na may kinalaman sa bansa ng Edom. Now, Obadiah itself is a common name in the Old Testament. No less than 11 individuals were called Obadiah in the Old Testament. None of them can be identified with this Obadiah of the minor prophets, although it has been traditional to associate him with the Obadiah who was identified as servant of Ahab. That identification is getting decreasing support among scholars today. Kaya hindi natin sasabihin na siya yung Obadiah na ito, naiiba itong Obadiah ng ating propeta. But without knowing the background of the prophet, he makes no secret of his message. The message is clear, and the message is about Edom. And Edom is Israel's enemy, and Edom then represents the rest of the enemy nations to the people of God. So what is significant about this Edom and its hostility to Israel? My message is going to be simple, but I trust will prove with impact. The message is that God judges those who are guilty of hostile treatment of His people. Hinahatulan ng Diyos ang mga may pakikipaglaban sa kanyang bayan. God judges those who are guilty of hostile treatment of His people. Now, Edom is an instructive lesson in hostility. Hostility between nations and even hostility between persons as well. Marami tayong matututuhan sa pakikipaglaban ng Edom laban sa Israel. Kasama na rin yung paglalabanan ng mga bansa, pero kasama na rin yung mga sigalot at alitan na nakikita natin sa mga individual. At maaari tayong matuto rito maging sa mga nararamdaman at nararanasan ating mga sigalot. Enmity against God breeds enmity against His people. This is one clear lesson of history in the Old Testament. When people are against Yahweh, they are against the people of Yahweh, and they are against Israel. And this becomes part of the judgment of God. And this remains instructive to us today, for we are still caught in the reality of the world's hostility to us. Isang bagay na nararanasan pa rin natin na yung pakikipaglaban ng mundo sa atin. Hindi pakikipaglaban na nasa anyo ng digmaan o ng giyera, kundi andun pa rin yung pakikipaglaban sa taglay nating pananampalataya. At ang leksyon ng Edom ay napakaganda para sa pagkaunawa ng pakikipaglaban na yan. Edom is an illustration of that hostility which becomes an object of God's judgment. So Edom, apart from the big powers such as Babylon and Egypt and Assyria, Edom is a tragic case of hostility towards Israel. And there are two reasons why. First, we have here hostility in spite of opportunity. And secondly, hostility with added gravity. Una ay pakikipaglaban sa kabila ng pagkakataon, at ikalawa ay pakikipaglaban na may dagdag na kabigatan. Yan yung masasabi natin sa pakikipaglaban ng Edom sa Israel. The first thing about this hostility is that it was hostility in spite of opportunity. Who were the Edomites? The most obvious answer is that they were the descendants of Esau. So yan yung mga Edomites, sila yung mga lahi ni Esau. And in that simple answer lies the mystery of that hostility of the Edomites against Israel. Well, we know who Esau was. Esau was the brother of Jacob. We know that there was hostility between the two. But we also know that apparently, at least from the narrative of Genesis, apparently there was reconciliation between these two individual brothers, between Jacob and Esau. But now the descendants seem to have perpetuated that hostility when they should have a special place. Dapat itong Edomites, maituturing ng mga kapatid, kadugo, nitong mga Israelita at dapat meron silang malapit na relasyon dito sa Israel kagaya ni Esau sa kay Jacob, ngunit hindi ito ang nangyari. But what do we learn here? What we learn here is that those who are placed in a special relationship to God's people have a favored opportunity. Yung mga inilagay na may espesyal na relasyon sa mga mananampalataya ay may espesyal na pabor. Kung meron kang relasyon sa isang tao na mananampalataya ng Diyos, sana'y makita mo na inilagay ka ng Diyos sa isang pabor na wala ang iba, na walang relasyon sa mga mananampalataya. Now, Esau himself would count as a child of Abraham and Isaac. Nasa lahi siya ni Abraham at ni Isaac. And who were Abraham and Isaac? They were patriarchs of the covenant. And that's a very special position. Esau was a very special case. But even back in their days, we know that Esau demonstrated his unseemly character. Perhaps the most infamous was his selling of his birthright. Pinagbili niya yung kanyang karapatang bilang panganay. At hindi lang yung basta karapatan, yun ay responsibilidad. Pero anong nangyari? Matapos na siya ay mangaso at bumalik siya na gutom at nakita niya siguro nagluluto ng bulalo o goto itong si Jacob, ay agad-agad siyang nagpasya. Masasabi nating tuso itong si Jacob, and there is also that unseemly character in Jacob. Yet, let us not miss the unseemly and the evil character of Jacob or of Esau, which in fact in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 was called evil. What Esau did was evil in selling his birthright. Yung ginawa ni Esau na pinagbili yung kanyang karapatan bilang panganay ay napakasama. Parang winalang bahala niya yung kanyang kalagayan. Tandaan natin, he had a very favored placement, child of Abraham and Isaac in the descent of the covenant patriarchs. And yet now, when Jacob taunted him to sell his birthright without any second thought, Esau said, "Just let me eat." He sold his birthright for the sake of his appetite. He sold his birthright for the sake of an immediate need. And that tells you something of the unseemly character and personality of Esau. It betrayed him, a man who would choose what's immediate, who would choose appetite for long-range accountability. And we could say what a waste Esau made of the favor that was his in being in the family of Abraham and Isaac. Sinayang niya na siya ay nasa kalagayan na kalahi, kadugo ni Abraham at ni Isaac. Sinayang niya ito ng kanyang pagpili, ng kanyang sariling pangangailangan, ng kanyang sariling layaw at kagustuhan. And now, his descendants, the Edomites, will make it worse as they perpetuate hostility to Jacob. Esau was in a favored placement within the descent of Abraham and Isaac, but now his descendants, the Edomites, will make it worse by fighting against the descendants of Jacob, that's the Israelites. Now when you think of it, Edom was no worse than Egypt in its treatment of Israel. Mas masahol pa ang trato ng Egypt sa Israel kaysa ng Edom sa Israel. Pero tandaan natin, walang pabor ang Egypt na kagaya ng pabor na ibinigay sa kay Edom. Egypt had no close relationship in its descent with Jacob. In other words, Egypt was a real alien nation. But Edom was descendant of Esau. Edom was supposed to be kin to Jacob and the descendants of Jacob, the Israelites. Edom became very close to the realm of God's covenant, but it never quite made it. You can say, here was a man in Esau, and here was a nation in Edom, that was so close to grace but did not make it. Narito ang isang tao sa katauhan ni Izo, narito ang isang bansa sa kalagayan ng Edom na naging napakalapit sa biyaya, ngunit hindi nakarating, hindi nakaabot sa biyaya. It is much like what Jesus said to the scribe, remember, when he asked him, what is the chief commandment? And the scribe answered correctly. And what did Jesus tell him? Mark 12:34, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Hindi ka malayo sa kaharian ng Diyos. Ibig sabihin, may nalalaman siya, alam niya yung mga mahalagang kautusan ng Diyos, alam niya ang salita ng Diyos, at sinabi sa kanya ng Panginoong Yesus, hindi ka malayo sa kaharian ng Diyos. But there is no record that scribe actually made it. And we can only hope he did, but no record of it. And the sad thing is that there are many such cases who are in a favored placement as far as relationship with the people of God is concerned, but never quite make it. And we believe that when anyone is put in a close relationship with the people of God, it is immense favor. Dapat tandaan natin, isipin natin malaking pabor kung tayo inilagay ng Diyos sa isang relasyon sa kanyang mga alagad, sa kanyang mga mananampalataya. Ito'y pakinabang mula sa Diyos. Now let me make that clear. We do not believe that it is automatic. We do not believe that because you are related to a Christian that makes you a Christian. This is the reason why we reject infant baptism. Just because you're a child of a Christian, that does not make you a Christian. And that does not make a child of a Christian a candidate for baptism. You must have your own coming to Christ. You must have your own dealing with Christ on an individual level. Don't take it as automatic. But the Bible and the New Testament included teaches that there is a special favor for those who are placed in a relationship to Christians. Listen, for example, to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 7:14. He says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. Ay, may sinasabi rin si Pablo na yung hindi mananampalataya, na ang karelasyon niya ay mananampalataya, ay may pagbubukod. Hindi ibig sabihin niya na siya'y naging Kristiyano, kundi may pagkakabukod siya, hindi katulad ng iba na walang relasyon sa mga Kristiyano. Kahit pa yung asawa na hindi mananampalataya, kung ang asawa niya ay mananampalataya, nagkaroon siya ng pagbubukod. And that is how we are to understand sanctified. Not that he actually became holy in salvation sense, but he was separated. He was treated in a special way. The same is true with the child. And again, we do not believe that the child automatically becomes a Christian, but the child of believers has a special favor that children of unbelievers do not have. And so we believe that is how we are to take the favor that is ours. And yet, you must decide for yourself, not depend on your parentage. You know, when Spurgeon was baptized and became a Baptist, his mother protested. His mother said, I pray that you may become a Christian but not a Baptist. And Spurgeon said, doesn't that show, mother, that God answers prayers more than we could ask or think? Well, in that sense, our desire for you, our children, those of you who are related to believers, is that you would know that that blessing of God. Sana'y malaman mo't maranasan ang pagpapala ng Diyos kung ikaw ay inilagay sa isang relasyon na karugtong ng mga mananampalataya. Meron itong pabor ng Diyos. And I'm addressing you who are yet unbelievers, and yet you are in church. And you are in church because you are related to someone who is a member, a Christian. I want you to realize what favor you have And yet, that very favor, let me warn you, will make your judgment worse if you die an unbeliever. And there is something in this that is both heartwarming and soul-trembling. Kung isipin natin ito, nakakapagningas ng puso na binigyan tayo ng pabor ng Diyos. Ngunit kung isipin mo pa rin, nakapanginginig na matapos kang bigyan ng ganyang pabor ay mawala ng saysay sa'yo at mamatay ka na hindi mananampalataya kagaya ng iyong kadugo. Those of us, on the other hand, who are believers and have unbelieving loved ones we are seeking to win, I want to tell you we have a special responsibility not to become the cause of their disenchantment. Mag-ingat tayo na tayong mga mananampalataya, meron tayong mga karelasyon na hindi mananampalataya, sinisikap natin silang hikayatin sa Panginoong Hesukristo, mag-ingat tayo na baka tayo pa ang maging dahilan ng kanilang katitisuran kung kaya't lalayot ng lalamig sila sa pananampalataya kung ang dahilan ay ikaw. Mag-ingat tayo. How often it happens. Sometimes they see Christians with worse behavior than unbelievers. We become less guarded with our words without realizing that those words add to the disenchantment of unbelievers around us. Oh, be careful. Be watchful. Those unguarded behavior and words may be the means to the disenchantment of unbelievers around you. And no less than Jesus said, Matthew 18:7, woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. In fact, he makes it sound even worse by saying, if anyone offends one of these little ones, it is better for him to tie a mill up around his neck and dive into the sea. Well, exaggeration, but nonetheless, to make the point na matindi yung kasalanan na tayo pa ang maging dahilan ng katitisuran ng mga hindi mananampalataya sa ating paligid. Samantalang nilagay nga sila ng Diyos sa isang kalagayang may pabor na meron silang karugtong at kadugo na mananampalataya. Kagaya ni Edom sa Israel, yet kung tayo pa ang maging dahilan, mag-ingat tayo. But then let me address you. Perhaps you are such a person who excuse your unbelief because of your disenchantment with believers. Perhaps you are saying, well, I can't find myself to come to faith because of so-and-so and because of that, because I see believers in my church whose behavior is worse than decent unbelievers I know. Well, let me tell you, it is no excuse. For you, the one you have to consider is Christ. Christ has not failed you. Believers may fail you. Believers may disappoint you. Believers may be a cause of disenchantment with you, but certainly not Christ. Christ is faithful. Christ is true. And His invitation is for you to come to Him. The failure of believers does not take away from what Christ has done for sinners such as you. And the invitation to you, ang paanyaya sa'yo, lumapit kay Kristo. Tingnan mo si Kristo palayo sa mga mananampalataya na maaring kinatitisod mo. If you have stayed a while in this church, let me tell you have had a favor not shared by many. But that very favor may prove to be your worst judgment when wasted. It will be like Edom. And as we shall see in Obadiah, some terrible words will be pronounced against Edom. And yet for all that close relationship Esau had and his descendants, the Edomites had to Jacob and to his descendants, that very close relationship became a cause of worse judgment. Yung mismong malapit na relasyon na yun ang naging dahilan para sa mas masahol na hatol. So appreciate the favor of your birth in a Christian family. That you grow in a Christian church. There is no telling what gutter your lifestyle might have been if not for that fact. But let me tell you, if the very opportunity that you have instead breeds hostility to the faith, then there is judgment that will not spare you. And the judgment will be worse, just like God's judgment upon Edom. And yet how often it happens, the second generation of the faithful ones not following the faith of their parents. You have Eli, and the reason why the glory of Israel departed from the house of God was the children of Eli were not worthy. Samuel, and the reason why the Israelites were tempted to ask for a king was there was no replacement from among Samuel's children. Or even such a worthy one as David, and what happened to some of his children. Maaari natin ulit-ulitin ng mga ganyang pangyayari mula sa magulang, hindi sumunod ang anak. At wag sana yan mangyari sa inyo na binigyan ng ganong relasyon ng Diyos sa mga mananampalataya. This is hostility in spite of opportunity. And secondly, we have here hostility with added gravity. Pakikipaglaban na may dagdag na kabigatan. Hostility with added gravity. Now, like I noted, Edom's hostility was no worse than that of Egypt. Assyria's treatment of the northern kingdom was worse. Babylonia's treatment of the southern kingdom was even worse. But there was something about Edom that made it worse than those other more powerful nations. And this simple reason, Edom was a brother of the Israelites. Esau was the brother of Jacob, and the Edomites, in that sense, were brethren to the Israelites. And what you have here is hostility between brethren. And it is not unprecedented. It is known that hostility between brothers can have special contempt and bitterness. Yung alitan sa pagitan ng mga magkakapatid ay kuminsan mas matindi, mas may pagkabuhi sa isa't isa. And it teaches us something, that acts of hostility between brethren have an added gravity and damage to this offense. This hostility you expect of Egypt, this hostility you expect of Assyria or of Babylon and their cruelty, even though God will not spare them, but such hostility from the Edomites, it was something that provoked such a reaction from God, even unmatched towards these other superpowers. Unlike Assyria, Edom did not ruin the 10 tribes. The 10 tribes were lost. Unlike Babylon, Edom did not ruin the city of Jerusalem or destroy the temple. There was no captivity towards the Edomites. But still, there is a sense in which Edom's damage was worse on the spirit of the Israelites because they were brethren. Edom may represent today false brethren who are scattered in churches, and the New Testament often warns of them. Nagbababala ang bagong tipan sa mga bulaang kapatiran. nagiging sanhi sila ng mga pagkakawatak-watak sa iglesia, pagkakahati. At kuminsan lumalabas yan sa kanilang tuloy-tuloy na pagbibintang at pagsasalita ng masama laban sa mga kapatid, laban sa iglesia. And they may not necessarily be false brethren. They may be true brethren, yet who have no maturity of dealing with others. And these are brethren who can be characterized by constant fault-finding. They find it easier to criticize than to appreciate. Encouragement is not in their personal policy. They try to impress their superiority by putting down others. I was just reading the tragic case of the close friend and advisor of former President Bill Clinton of the United States, Vince Foster. Bill Clinton describes his childhood friend Vince Foster as his rock of Gibraltar because of his steady spirit in times that Bill Clinton's life was shaky. Vince Foster was a person of stability and decency, and he became one of the closest advisors of Bill Clinton. But in 1993, 6 months into Clinton's presidency, Vince Foster committed suicide. And it was a shocker in Washington. A week later, his suicide note was found torn in many pieces. When finally pieced together, that note revealed a man destroyed by fault finding, coming from the press, from investigators, full of false charges and half-truths. And towards the end of that note, Vince Foster wrote, "I was not meant for the job or the spotlight of public life in Washington. Here, ruining people is considered a sport." Yung pagsira ng mga tao ay ginagawang palakasan, sport, laro. Well, in a way, you can say, well, he entered politics, he should have prepared himself. But in another sense, there was a decent man who couldn't take the unjust criticisms. But it only tells you what unjust criticisms and fault-finding will do. And if you are such a source, I wish you could realize what you are doing to those who you love to criticize or find fault against. I wish I could say that this should remain in politics, but it does not. It can happen even in the unlikeliest of places. But it reminds us of one thing, and with this challenge I shall close. Christians must expect and endure hostility to their faith in different forms. Dapat asahan ng Kristiyano at pagtiisan yung pakikipaglaban sa kanyang pananampalataya. Bahagi yan ng ating pananampalataya. Kuminsan nga, sa pamilya pa natin, manggagaling yung pakikipaglaban. Yan ang sabi ng ating Panginoon mismo. And that's why He said, "I did not come to bring peace but a sword." And that sword will strike right in the middle of family relationship. And Edom was family to Jacob. But his hostility was sharp. And sometimes we find that in our family. Or that hostility may be in the circles where you brush shoulders with your peers and colleagues. And in there may be a show of respect and mutual recognition until you become true to your faith. Then, it may result in subtle insult, in being ostracized. C.S. Lewis, I've often told you, was often bypassed for promotion when he deserved it most, to the professorial chair in Oxford, just because of his Christian faith. And others were chosen above him because people could not accept that a man of such genius will have a Christian faith. And C.S. Lewis didn't mind. And I'm telling you, if you're not prepared for such a hostility, the alternative is one compromise or hidden faith. Kapag hindi ka handa sa pakikipaglaban sa iyong pananampalataya, ang alternatibo ay magkompromiso o kaya magtago ng pananampalataya. And neither of this is an option for the believer. We must be open about our faith and we must not compromise. And perseverance in faith assumes resistance. Expect resistance. And sometimes in the form of hostility. And sometimes we will find our Edom in brethren, in churches. I have a share of them, and you may. But my exhortation to you, unbelieving relations, I urge you, do not forever be an Edom. By the grace of God, you can be Israel. You can be a child of God. Huwag kang habang buhay ay Edom na may relasyon lamang sa mga mananampalataya. Ikaw mismo maaring maging Israel, maaring maging anak ng Diyos. Lumapit ka kay Jesucristo. And for those of us who are Israel, be such a testimony that will encourage the Edomites to become Israelites. I've told you also often of Susanna Wesley, how she became an influence on children she probably never anticipated would become giants in history. Charles Wesley, the greatest English hymnist. John Wesley, a great preacher. All learned the ways of the faith from the patient teaching of their mother Susanna without the support of a Christian husband. And you may be called to that. A kind of influence on an Edomite to be an Israelite. But ultimately, the issue here, why there is hostility to God's people, is because of hostility to God. And so I come back to my message that God will judge hostile treatment of the people of God. And I challenge you, are you hostile to the faith? Are you just being manipulative to the faith? Or are you just going through the motions of being liking the faith, but ultimately you're not of the faith? Then you're just like Edom. And I'm challenging you, come to God tonight. Come to Christ tonight. And for those of us who are of the spiritual Israel, let us continue to be of such a disposition, mindful. There are Edomites around us. We want them to be Israelites. We want to show to them the attraction of the kingdom of God and of the church of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us sing as our response hymn, I love thy kingdom, Lord. And as the third verse says, for her my tears shall fall, for her my prayers ascend, to her my cares and toils be given, till toils and cares shall end. Your attitude to God is going to be evidenced by your attitude to the people of God. So can we say, and may we be able to say, that we truly love thy kingdom, Lord? Let's close in prayer. Nawa dakila naming Diyos at amay matimbang namin ang malaking pabor na ang sinuman sa amin ay mailagay sa isang kalagayan na may malapit na relasyon sa iyong mga alagad, sa mga hindi mananampalataya. At dahil dito makita nawa namin ang kawalang saysay ng pakikipaglaban, lalo pa sa isang inilagay sa kalagayang may relasyon sa mananampalataya. Grant, Lord, that we may realize that you judge hostile treatment of your people. And in the case of such as Edom, there are those who are put in a placement of wonderful privilege of being in relationship to the people of God. And thus, they have opportunity not given to others. And with that very opportunity, they have all the more reason to come to the faith. Father, remind us, those of us who are of Israel, those of us who are of the faith, that we have a special responsibility to be watchful, to be cautious of our behavior, even our very words, for this can be used as a means of disenchantment to unbelievers around us. May we take to heart the warning of the Lord Jesus, woe to the world because of offenses, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. May we be watchful of our conduct in such a way that we may have one that persuades others and that is pleasing to others, that we may save some. And we pray, Lord, for those who are considering the faith, they may be disenchanted and they may use as excuse the fact that they may know believers whose behavior disappoint them. And yet, Father, this is not an excuse, for they must consider Christ above all else. And whatever disappointment may come from believers, surely Christ does not disappoint. Christ's work is complete, and Christ invites everyone to come to Him. We pray, Lord, for those of our loved ones in church, that they may consider Christ and Christ alone and come to Him. May we realize that there is hostility with added gravity when that hostility comes from brethren. This can be in the form of false brethren that are scattered in churches, or it may even be true brethren who do not have the maturity of dealing with their brethren with encouraging grace. Grant, Lord, that we may all grow in this maturity of being an encouragement to others. But for our part as Christians, teach us to expect and endure hostility to our faith, knowing that living in this world and following our Master, if we will be true to our faith, the world will be against us. There will be hostility to our faith. And because of that hostility, we may be tempted to compromise or to hide our faith. May it never be. But help us, Lord, to be open about our faith, to be true to our faith, and not to hide it. And grant that they may see in us one who perseveres in the faith despite the hostility and the opposition. May we aspire to be of good influence on others. May there be, even in this congregation, may there be the Edomites who by your grace will become Israelites, and make us as spiritual Israelites to be those who will be an influence on others, to not be hostile to the faith, but to consider and to be persuaded of it. We pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.